I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. What happened in your 2018? What kind of year did you have? You know, we could talk about looking backwards, and we could talk about looking forwards. I always like to look forward. I like to see what's coming down the road. I like to see where I'm going. Where I've been is important because it provides me with a lot of lessons, probably learned a lot of things. I think most of us learn a lot from our history and what we do. But I'm also very excited to see where we're going. What's happening in 2019? Well, I can tell you, Chasing Justice is rocking along. The fellas in the neighborhood and the ladies in the neighborhood, everybody loves doing the show. Everybody's being a part of it, reaching out to you, all the people out there in America that listen to Chasing Justice. So it's become something that we've put into our lives to make sure we have time for, because this is important. We have a voice. We understand how valuable that is. We get to speak across the airways of America here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. And I have to tell you, it's a privilege that we don't take for granted. So where are we going in 2019? What's going on? What's going to happen? We have the investigations that are all bouncing all over the place. We have the Democrats ready to take over Congress, and we're ready to see what's going to happen there. So let me ask a question. Do we think that our Democrat friends are going to take over the House of Representatives, and they're going to come in as dedicated public servants to do the will of the American people, to make our country genuinely better, stronger, more powerful in the world? Or are they going to come in and be petty and ridiculous and partisan and do things that are good for them? Are they going to try and win points at every moment? Are they going to subpoena everything about our president? Are they going to subpoena everything about Republican leaders? Are they going to go crazy with their hatred and vitriol? I don't know. That's my question. What do you think? I'm going to ponder this for a minute. You know, there's a saying out there that says the best predictor of future is the past. So if you look back to the past and you say, okay, how have people behaved in the past? Well, just in the most recent days, we can see that the whole thing about a border wall has become a very painful issue to many people. They're losing their minds over the border wall. It's immoral, we're told. It's immoral to have a border wall from people who have border walls all around their houses and their properties. And people who are protected by armed guards tell the rest of us that this is immoral if this is what you want to do. And we've seen them be completely hypocritical, because there are plenty of videos out there to look and see Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of these other Democrat members of Congress who are right now attacking basically everybody who thinks they want to have a wall, not just the president, but everybody who thinks it's a good idea. They're attacking everybody. And just a couple years ago, they were on video talking about how a border wall was needed. Border security is needed. But you know what? I think they've come to realize that the country is ripe right now for legalizing everyone who came here illegally in the past, giving them all kinds of benefits to be here, and letting them vote. And they know how most of those people are going to vote. They're going to vote Democratic. And you look at our presidential election, there's probably 5 or 6 million votes that separate the winner from the loser nationwide. Well, if you add 12 million people and only half of them vote for the Democrats, they win every election from now on. And if you think not having a border wall is going to prevent more people from coming, once they realize that all of these people were just legalized, got all these benefits, and then are allowed to vote, if you think that's going to stem the tide, unfortunately, I think you're sadly mistaken. I think we're going to see droves and droves of people coming here, because you know what? This is a great place to be. People want to come here. I get it. I understand. I'm very proud of my country. I think this is the greatest place on the planet Earth. I think it's blessed by God, and I think we are very, very prosperous country because of the people that are here. So I wouldn't blame anybody who would want to come here. Unfortunately, the reason we lock our doors at night is because people can't just come walking in. They need to knock first, and then we want to ask some questions like, hey, how are you? Who are you? What are you doing here at my front door? What do you need from me? Right? We don't let people just kind of open the door on their own, come in through the front door, the back door, the side door, down the chimney, of course, other than Santa Claus, come on in and decide that they're going to take our stuff or that we have to help them out and pay for them. That's not how it works. Well, that's a microcosm of what's going on at the border. And unfortunately, when I look, I have to say, what's the best predictor of the future would be the past, and I look at our Democrat friends, they are not going to stop when they see all of these voters coming their way. It's been said by many talk show hosts that are out there that are no doubt thousands of times better than I am, that what we really have here is people realizing that these votes are easy to get, and all you have to do is give people things. And people feel indebted, and of course they want to continue to get things, and they vote for you. That's how it works, and it's unfortunate. I'm going to turn my attention to our Republican friends for a minute, because they are just as big, if not a bigger, part of the problem that we have had. We have had a Republican majority for 2 years, the House and the Senate. We have a Republican president who's doing conservative things. I don't care how much you like him or don't like him. He's doing conservative things, and he did not get the backing from these petty Republican politicians. They are the ones to blame for the problems we're having now. If they had stood up, been brave, had a backbone, and had backed this president, all of this would be moot because this would already be done. The border wall would be built. Our country would be more secure, and people who wanted to come here would be coming here legally because they'd have to come through the big, beautiful door, I think, as Trump had said one time. But they have to have a reason to come here. You can't just come here. We don't just let people walk in our front doors and start taking our stuff. That's not how it works. So that's where I think we're going with that. So what's going to happen with this shutdown as we move forward? Obviously, the rhetoric is back and forth. There's a little bit of fear on both sides. They're trying to blame each other. It's Chuck Schumer's shutdown. It's Donald Trump's shutdown. The bottom line is this. Most of the government is not shut down. Most of the government is funded. About 80% of it is completely funded throughout fiscal year 2019. So it's 20% of the government that's not funded, but they're making this shutdown that people are not going to get their checks, people aren't going to get their food, people are going to starve to death. This is a game. We are all being played with these games. And it's unfortunate because so many people fall for it. So many people seem to think that it's real, that this calamity is coming, and they're trying to pick a person to blame, one side or the other. It is all of us, American citizens, that should be outraged at what our government does to us. But unfortunately, I think a lot of us are in cahoots with it. You know, if it suits our side, we stand fast on it, and we rail against the other side. And that is part of the problem. You know, you look at the congressional elections each year. Congress gets about a 13% approval rate. 13% consistently approve of Congress. But when you ask people about their specific representative, oh, but my guy or my girl is great. My guy or my girl is great. But overall, Congress is horrible. Congress does nothing to protect our constitutional rights. Matter of fact, they're trying to go around them. We don't realize how dangerous this really is for all of us. And as we move into 2019, it's only going to get worse. The rhetoric is going to go up. The attacks on the president are going to go up. How come nobody seems to care that this investigation, from what I can tell, seems very clear, was the biggest farce of anything that's ever happened in our country? We had the Obama administration using the power of government to go after a private citizen. How many times do I have to say this? It is so frustrating that comes down to the bedrock of what this problem is. One political party was using all the power of government, because they were in power, to go after the other side. That's not what our country is supposed to be about. That is dangerous. If that's allowed, that precedent's allowed to stand, we no longer have America. We have something else. And that's what's concerning to me. So as I look down the road here, I'm hoping that there's a tide turn of the American people. The American people on both sides have to look at this. And I've said this before, and I say it again, if they had done this to Obama, I didn't care for President Obama, his policies. seemed like a nice enough guy, I guess, personally, but his policies were horrible. If this had happened to him, if the American intelligence agencies were used to go against him, I'd be outraged at that. I'd be demanding that that was uncovered and brought out in the open. But nobody seems to care about it, and that is the part that really concerns me the most as we move into 2019. But I'm hoping that there's this shift because, you know, Jimmy Giordano, the contrarian here on The Neighborhood, Jimmy says to me all the time, I believe the American people are smarter than that, and they will come through. Well, we look at the election in 2016. Everyone was convinced that Hillary was going to win, that the fix was in, she was going to win, she was going to win, she was going to win. And then she didn't. And you realize the American people came true. They came through and they pulled it out. They said, no, we're not going that way. That is so corrupt, so horrible. We're going to go a different direction. That actually was a buoying type of a thing. That was like, wow, the American people did do the right thing. In this past congressional election, I was a little disappointed that so many people can't see the bigger picture. This is something that I've talked to my family and friends about. This whole, it's a subterfuge is what's going on. They get us talking about specific incidences like healthcare. They get us talking about healthcare and telling these stories about people who don't have healthcare, who's going to die, who's going to this. And really, it's not about healthcare at all. It's about control of a sixth of the United States American economy. That's what it's about. Healthcare is simply the vehicle that allows people to steal that power from you, from me, from all of us, the American citizens. But we get so caught up in the minutiae of the argument that we have a hard time looking behind the curtain and seeing the man behind the curtain manipulating it. This is where we're all being used, and I'm hoping in 2019 that there's a change in our country, in our people, that we start to see this and say, wait a minute, this isn't right. We saw what happened with Judge Kavanaugh. Judge Kavanaugh, they just dropped all the ethics complaints against him and everything because they realized that whole thing was a setup. It was a makeup attempt to destroy a man politically. Now, I can see you don't agree with his political philosophy. But to go after people and make things up in the face of all the things they're making up about Trump, and everyone just kind of sits by and watches it happen, watches the train roll on by, this is going to go down in history, I think, as one of the most corrupt times in American history, however it comes out. You know, jump forward. You know, we're looking forward. So let's jump forward, not to 2019 or 2020. Let's jump forward to 2050. When we look back at all of this, what are we going to be saying when we look back at this period of time? I think the answer is clear. The winners in history are the ones who write the history. So whoever ends up winning control of how things go, whether we stay traditional America or become a socialized America like the people on the left want, then whoever those people that are in charge, they will write the history. They will put the history together and they will determine how it really went. You and I and our children and grandchildren are going to live the effects of that. This is why, you know, waking up all of us, you know, wake up everybody. Let's get off our political affiliations here and are locked into these positions. And let's just look. Let's all say, okay, we don't like this particular policy, but we should never do what happened back in, 2015 and 16 ever again. I hope that's the case. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the enlightenment of the American people, that when these reports start to come out, when these testimonies start to happen, that we know our friends on the left are probably going to overdo it, they're probably going to overreach, they're going to be absurd in their accusations and everything else. But, you know, if they can do this to those people, they can do it to you, and you have no power to fight back against this government. Zero power when they come after you. So let's all say a little prayer that 2019 is a better year for America and for freedom and justice and liberty, because that at its heart is who we are. That's what America is, and that is always something to fight for and to pray for and to hope for, and that's what I'm going to do in 2019. So thanks for joining us here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. We'll be back in a couple minutes with our next round.
the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Here we go, ding, 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 round two. Now, the neighborhood guys and girls, where are they on this New Year's? They are out and about. People are on vacation. People are with their families. This is a wonderful, wonderful time of year. You know, I used to always like the Christmas season as it built up. I remember being a young cop and, you know, working 3 to 11s or midnight shift when I was a young cop. You had to leave. You were not around in the evenings. You know, when the kids were young, that was, you know, dinner time. And after dinner, we would do, you know, Christmassy stuff. The big thing at our family has always been, and it's got to be, my oldest son is 33 now. He's an attorney. We all know him. He's the attorney of record here for Chasing Justice. Joe was a kid, and probably by the time he was 5 years old, we had started the tradition of watching Christmas movies. And at the time, it was VCRs were the thing. So you'd go out and you'd buy a couple of different movies, and we would watch, you know, our favorite Christmas movies, and have a bowl of ice cream or something, and then my wife would put the baby to bed, and I would head off to, you know, my midnight shift, or, you know, if we were day shift, I got to do that, and then we'd all go off to bed, because I had to get up early. You know, 3 to 11, I wasn't home, so I always tried to enjoy the holiday, and hope I didn't get stuck on 3 to 11s throughout the whole season. But that season usually would go from Thanksgiving through to Christmas Day, a couple of days after. But I always found it hard to watch Christmas movies after Christmas Day. Now, I know that's probably strange, right? It's still part of the holiday. But I always found that a little odd. Once Christmas Day came and went, okay, New Year's is exciting. You got that week in between. And you could do, you know, it's still holiday time. You know, you see the lights are still up. But even, like, going to New York City and seeing the tree, I love that. If you ever get a chance and you're not from the area, the New York metropolitan area, and you can get to New York in those weeks before Christmas, it is magical. It really is. It's beautiful. The Rockefeller Center tree is absolutely gorgeous. The music that's playing on the streets, it really is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I always enjoy going there for that reason. But it always seemed to me like once Christmas Day was over, the night of Christmas, the 25th, the evening, everybody goes to bed, Christmas season was pretty much over. And I had an enlightenment this year, and I'm sure many of you have already had this enlightenment, and I'm a little late to the game, but that's always the way it seemed to me. I was in church the other day, and we have a new pastor, and the new pastor's talking about the Christmas season. And I always saw the Christmas season as the season leading up to Christmas Day. And then, you know, you had that week in between, and then you had New Year's, and then you moved on, right? And what the reverend was saying here, the priest was saying, was that Christmas is a season. It doesn't end on Christmas Day. It's a feeling that should go on throughout the entire season, the build up to Christmas Day, then the joy afterwards. For those of you who are Christians out there, we know Christmas is about the birth of baby Jesus, and he is now with us, you know, symbolically because of his birthday, and then there we are, and he's with us every day. But the Christmas means the baby came, and how exciting it is when a baby comes. And you get, you know, 2 weeks down the road, and 3 weeks down, and a month down the road, and the baby gets bigger and smiles and laughs, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful time for anyone who's had children, who knows how great that can be. But what the priest said was, Christmas is not a day, it's not the lead-up, it's a season. It's an entire season of light and beauty and wonder at the gorgeous creation of our world, our families, our universe. And for whatever reason, that just really stuck with me this time. It really did, and I know it did, because you always look for an example to show that something really stuck with you. And as funny as it is, we have our list of Christmas movies that we watch every year. And this was a good Christmas season. We got in a lot of movies. Even though my daughter was in college, she missed some of them. My son Jack was busy for some of them. Me and my wife watched some. We got most of them in that we really like. But we missed one. And that was the Christmas Story. You know, with little Ralphie wants the BB gun. And we missed that story, and we really liked it. Well, the other night, like 2 days after Christmas, We had dinner. It was a nice, quiet day. Everybody's doing their thing. And my wife says, hey, why don't we watch Christmas Story? And we sat down as a family and we watched The Christmas Story. And you know what? I really enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I was on the other side of the holiday. I felt like I'm still in the holiday right now. As I'm talking to all of you, my friends, I feel like I still am in the holiday. Because it's a season, it's not a day, it's not a time period. And the new year is a new chance to be who you are, be who you've always wanted to be. That's the beauty of this. If you would have said to me a year ago that I would have a radio show on the America Out Loud radio network, I would have said, boy, that's something I would really like to do. But it's not something I could have imagined I would ever do. But opportunity came my way, and I took advantage of the opportunity. All right, Malcolm from Malcolm Out Loud, he had reached out to me. He read some of my articles that I had in other publications and said, hey, we'd like you to be a guest on this show. What do you think? And I came on. And I enjoyed being on the radio. I enjoyed, speaking my piece. And Malcolm was great. He says, listen, we'd like you to do a show about police work and justice and politics and life and whatever it is you want to talk about. And I couldn't tell you how overwhelmed and flattered I was that I would think anybody would want to listen to what I have to say. But this has been a great opportunity, and that's what New Year's offers. Now, I know a lot of people are joining the gym today, and they're going to go to the gym, and they're going to go to the gym probably really strong for the first 4 or 5 weeks. And then it gets tiring going to the gym and lifting weights and running on a treadmill, and people give that up. People have, all kinds of resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to look better. I'm going to get a better job. And then we kind of let those things fade. Well, using the logic of my local pastor here that Christmas is a season, not a day or a time period, how long do we let that season go for? I think Christmas should be every day, all year long, because it's about beauty and renewal and love and opportunity, and the future is hopeful. That's what I'm bringing back to me, to Joe Pangaro. I'm bringing back hope. I know last year on some of the shows I sounded really down, but I'm going to be hopeful. I'm going to take it from Build a Man of Faith and say, you know what? Tomorrow is going to be better for everybody. The country is going to heal, and we're going to move forward. I'm going to do that. That's my resolution. I'm not one of these guys that's going to say, well, I'm not going to eat chocolate this year. Because, first of all, I can't eat chocolate. It bothers my stomach. I guess that's what happens when you're 56. But the reality is, New Year equals new opportunity. Look for the opportunity. I have some friends that are really down on their luck, and we try and do what we can to help them. But there's some things I can't do. I can't make them get more education. I can't make them strive to learn something that they can use to get better employment. I can't do that. I can't find a home for them to live in. I only have so much room here in my house with all the rescue dogs that we take in and all the other people we got here in our house to begin with. I just don't have the room to drag more people in, but I can only make people go so far. Me, personally, I have always seen an opportunity as something that either comes along or something you make yourself. What is it you want to be? Where do you want to be a year from now? We're not limited. I've told you many times before, I came from nothing. My father died very early in my life. He was a young man himself. And me and my mom and my brother, we struggled. But I made a life. I hammered it out because I was never satisfied where I was. I always saw down the road. I always saw hope. I said, I can be more. I can do more. Then the next step is what's necessary. I had to figure out, what do I do to make that happen? Okay? So if I needed to do more, I had to go back to school. I had to get more education. I had to take more training. I had to try harder to get what I wanted. And failure only means you got to keep going. Doesn't mean you give up. I never give up. Frustrating? Absolutely. Sometimes I get frustrated trying to get my goals. But I'm driven to get my goals. I want to see my children achieve their goals, my wife achieve her goals, my friends achieve their goals. It's a good thing. It's hopeful because you always looked at, today was a bad day, but tomorrow could be better. That's a mindset. And I know it's hard for a lot of people. I'm just imploring all of you here in 2019 as we move forward, look for your opportunities. And if you can't see any coming at you, make your own opportunities. You know, I was given this chance with this radio show, and I've tried to make the best of it. I tried to make it entertaining. I tried to make it fun. We got the fellas and girls in the neighborhood involved, and we come up with, you know, funny skits. We're trying to make fun so that all of us can enjoy this show. You, everybody out there in America Out Loud land, and all of us here on this side of the microphone. And it's been a great experience. It's opened me up to things I never thought I would do. I know a lot of you know, and I'm trying to connect this together for you. How does this actually work? One goal leads to another. Well, I haven't talked about it too much, but I'm going to talk about it now. I do a lot of safety and security training. We do threat assessments for schools and businesses in my company, True Security Design, Pangaro Training. I train law enforcement officers. I teach them all kinds of investigative things, plus administrative type of stuff. And I teach school people how to do lockdown drills and how to make their school safer and train their teachers and de-escalation, all that kind of stuff. All right? Those are the things I do. And I write as much as I can. So I'm writing these articles about school safety and be better and how to work with your local police and get everyone together. And I get this phone call from a guy named Richard Allen. Richard Allen is the owner of a internet television network called Disrupt Ed TV. Disrupt, like you're disrupting something, -edtv.com. And he says that they are dedicated to school activities. It's for teachers. It's a station dedicated to teachers and school administrators, college administrators, how to make their schools better, how to teach better, how to do better mathematics teaching, how to, you know, make a better environment in your school. And Richard calls me and he says, listen, I've read a lot of your articles about school safety and the things that you're doing. And we really think that the fourth horseman of school life these days is actually safety and security. And we don't have a show about safety and security. Would you consider doing a 15 to 20 minute weekly TV show about school safety and security? Well, if I had never had the opportunity to do Chasing Justice, I never would have thought this is something I could do. You know, how could I put together some ideas and some shows and some people? And I never would have seen that opportunity coming. But one opportunity leads to another. So we created a TV show for the DisruptEdTV.com network, and it's called Hope is Not a Tactic. Now, that title comes from what I teach people. We cannot just sit back and hope that things are going to be better. We cannot just hope that everyone's going to be safe and secure. You have to go out and do things to make it happen. So Hope is Not a Tactic is all about how people can empower themselves and be better and safer in schools. So the show is actually taken off. There's several million people who watch the station, and from what I'm getting information, there's a lot of people watching Hope is Not a Tactic on the DisruptEdTV.com network. So I'm going to ask you to go take a look at it. It's disrupt-edtv.com, and you look for Hope is Not a Tactic, and you'll see what we're doing. I've had some tremendous guests. I've had some of them on this radio show, which is really awesome. We had the principal of Columbine High School, Frank DeAngelis, a tremendous man. And you listen to his interview. What a great guy. And he survived a massive school shooting. But we have lessons to learn from Frank. A lot of kids were lost in that one. But his lessons echo past Columbine High School and have helped keep other people safe. They've informed me. We had Michelle Gay on. Michelle Gay is a wonderful woman. Michelle was a Newtown mom. She had her daughter Josephine. Joey, they call her. She was 6 years old, and she was killed in the Sandy Hook school shootings. Well, Michelle grieved for the loss of this beautiful little girl, but she turned that grief into empowerment, and she has a group called Safe and Sound Schools, and she's trying to help everybody across the country to empower them to make their school safer. So Michelle and I have written articles together. She's been on that TV show with me, and I hope we're going to do more things in the future together. But this is about opportunity. So Disrupted TV came from America Out Loud, two media outlets that are tremendous voices for all of us, for who listen and for those who are saying things, to try and bring us all together. That's hope. That is hope. That's what hope is. You can make your own opportunities. This was an amazing thing. My writing allowed me to have Malcolm read an article and ask me to come on the radio, which led to this show, which led me to you. All your phone calls, your emails, the connection I have with you has really been a wonderful blessing for me. It's helped me to be better. Then that led to the TV show. Who knows what's next? So I'm going to tell you, in 2019, Get excited about potential. Get excited about making things better. Don't wait for someone else to make it better. Make it better yourself. Look around. Take a really good assessment of yourself. Who am I? What am I all about? What are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? Write them down. It's easier to work things when you see them written in front of you instead of trying to keep it in your head. Here's my 5 best qualities. Here's my worst qualities. Then enhance the good ones and try and get rid of the bad ones. If you need more education, take a community college course on something you care about. Take a regular college course. Finish your degree, right? If you have a degree, get your next degree. Go volunteer to speak. What do you do well? Right? Go on social media and talk about good things. Let's everybody move forward in 2019. You know, we have a lot of great ideas for what we're going to do here on Chasing Justice. It's infectious. You know, I said I tried to come up with some ideas that would be fun, and we did the Mighty Chasing Justice Players. We've done that. We've done the game show, which I thought was a lot of fun. But I can tell how it's becoming infectious, because the guys and girls in the neighborhood, they hear me, and they hear me get all excited about this, and we're going to do stuff, and they kind of like shake their head. Sure, we'll do like a game show. Now they're calling me with ideas. Right? My son Jack the other day, Jack and his friends, the fam, they were on a couple episodes ago. You can look it up in the podcast. It was a lot of fun. Young men, what they think of the world. My son Jack comes to me and goes, hey, you know what? I got a great idea for something for Chasing Justice. And he lays out this idea for me. It's infectious. Right? One person can be infectious. Listen to Malcolm. All right? Malcolm on his shows, on Viewpoint. When you listen to that guy, he's infectious because he's always trying to bring out answers. He's trying to get to the truth. He's trying to say things. It's infectious to me. It has turned me on to doing these kind of things. So as we're moving into 2019, the year is just unfolding. You can be anything you want. It might take a lot of hard work and it might take a lot of time. But lay out them goals and start knocking them down one at a time. One at a time. Put some benchmarks out there. Where do I need to be 6 months from now with my plan? Where do I need to be a year from now? When 2020 rolls around, where do you expect to be? Where do you hope to be? It's all up to you. You can do it, just like I can do it. I got some grand plans for 2019. I'm hoping and I'm praying for a good year for our country. I'm praying for our soldiers and our sailors and all our military personnel, men and women around the world. I'm praying for them and their families. I'm praying for all my brother and sister cops out there who are having some difficulties out there. You see how many cops are getting killed, you know? I'm praying for all of them, for a better year for everybody, that we come together. And I'm praying to move my hopes and dreams ahead. You can do the same thing. My friends out there in Chasing Justice Land, this has been a great pleasure for me to be able to come into your lives like this. So listen, reach out to us, Jay Pangaro, that's the letter J, P-A-N-G-A-R-O, at AmericaOutloud.com. Send me an email. I get them from people. I love to read your emails, and I write back a lot. All right, so here we are every weekday at 3 p.m. We'll be back in a minute for round 3.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I would like you to meet Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, police expert, and weekly columnist on America Out Loud. Dr. Martinelli, from a law enforcement perspective, What's the biggest change we've seen in policing today?
More connection with the community. There are good changes and not so good changes. You know, our crime rate in the United States has gone up, and the motivation of officers because of what we refer to as the Ferguson effect have caused officers not to be as proactive in looking for danger signs and criminal activity as before. A lot of that has become political. And so it's sort of a symbiotic relationship. When you disincentive officers, they're not out there proactively looking for the criminals like they were before because they're afraid of getting into trouble.
As a prolific author and regular contributor on America Out Loud, how can you use your voice to change the narrative in the public sphere?
Well, you know, I always say that the truth will set you free, and without truth, there is no justice. And we need to have a unified response. That's the only way that we're going to keep all of us safe out there.
Well, we're excited you're here, and we hope you'll share with your friends, family, and associates. You can get our apps on Android or Apple. We stream 24/7. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, gather around here for round three, ding, 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 on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, I love to say that, on the America Out Loud Radio Network. It's a lot of fun for me. That's awesome. So here we are in round three, and I'm saying, what are some things we can talk about? What's been going on in the news? You know, the holidays, you kind of let things go because you're so busy with family and friends. But did you see, on social media, there's this video of a guy who comes in to buy some vape juice, you know, for a vape pen. He wants to do vape pen smoking. And he's wearing a shirt that says Trump, right? And the guy behind the counter just loses his mind. I mean, screaming and hollering. I think if you look it up, Trump guy in a vape store, you'll see this video. Hysterical. This guy loses his mind. I guess he's a snowflake kind of guy, right? A left-wing kind of guy. Loses his mind, won't sell him the stuff, calls him a hater, a racist, all this stuff. Now, the guy was a little bit obnoxious because he was recording and he knew he was catching a snowflake at his worst because these people lose their minds. But the video was actually pretty funny, pretty entertaining. So if you get a chance, go take a look at that. That'll lighten up your New Year's as we move along. Now, we're going back to work. Teachers going back to school, kids going back to schools. The year is going to lay out in front of us now as we move ahead. You know, Blue Magazine has a commercial on social media now. It's really awesome. Bernard Kerik, the former commissioner of NYPD, is actually the voiceover for it. It's really awesome. You ought to go look it up. www.thebluemagazine.com. Excellent. I'm honored to be able to write for them. You can go into the archives and read all the back articles. You can also look on the AmericaOutloud.com webpage under bloggers, and all of the hosts here have blogs. Articles and stories and all that kind of stuff. You can go back and hear the shows. You can read the articles. But Blue Magazine has been really developing as the independent voice of law enforcement, as a nationwide magazine. It's really been a great pleasure to be a part of it. I was recently part of a group of four authors who wrote an article on active shooters and how to respond to them. I did an article recently about life after the career, you know, for all you guys and girls in law enforcement out there. What are you going to do when a career comes to an end? You know, so I kind of give you a little bit of advice, things that I went through, what I thought about, and other people that I know and how they move forward. So that's very, very exciting. Another thing I want to tell you about, and this all kind of fits my theme of 2019. See, I'm trying to be positive and up, man. Draggy's all with me. This is all good stuff. Over at the Disrupt Ed TV station, we're trying to figure how we can make a difference to kids and students and everybody across the entire country. What can we do to take what we do as school safety and security professionals and make the schools everywhere safer? Because within the sound of my voice, you know, New York and New Jersey does a lot of stuff, has a lot of money. But across the country, they don't always have the same money, the same resources, the same thing. So what is it that we can do, what I can do, what can True Security Design do to try and help people be better? Well, I got hooked up with a gentleman from a company called ResponseLaw.com. This is John Moore. John Moore is an attorney. He is a tremendous expert on legal activities when it comes to school safety and security issues. He has been part of defending law enforcement officers in use of force cases. He has defended cities in use of force cases. He has gone into schools to try and help them prepare when they get sued for violence and this and that. John is a tremendous resource. Well, him and I had a big sit down, and it turns out that the skill set that I have, the physical security end of what I do, threat assessments, training, teaching, and John's training and teaching for the business end of things, we decided how can we get together and help everybody across the country. So at this point, we are starting a brand new venture that you're going to hear all about as we go ahead, because it's happening very quickly. And we're calling it the American Center for School Safety. The American Center for School Safety. This is going to be a central repository for all things school safety and security oriented. We're going to have a website that's going to have all the materials on there for everyone to join and come and see. And there'll be no cost to the school districts to join up here and be a part of this. We have experts in everything going to be on there. We're going to do webinars, video training. We're going to do live on-site training. We're setting up a whole host of trainings through my company, True Security Design, that will provide this training all across the country. We're expanding out, and we're going to try and help everybody in 2019 be better. So you want to look for that, the American Center for School Safety. So that is an important thing that's going on. I want to talk about my company for a couple minutes, True Security Design, and the people that I have involved with this company. We are scaling up and bringing our police training all across the country, our threat assessments. We're trying to do everything we can. We're passionate about this. I hope, if nothing else, you know about me, and I know I'm talking really fast today. You know, I'm pumped up and I'm feeling good. I'm an energetic kind of guy, and I try to be positive. You know, I have a great faith. I've been blessed with lots of great things in my life that I've had to work for, but I've been blessed with good results. I'm energetic. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to these things. And I got to be honest with you, having finished one career as a law enforcement officer, a second career as a school safety director, and now in this third career as a teacher and trainer, I am rejuvenated. I'm alive. I'm going to enjoy the next 30 years of my life doing what I can, dedicated to helping people. Because there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than bringing the knowledge and skills that I have and other people have out there to help people. Because we all know that these things are potential. School shootings, business shootings are all potential things that can happen to anybody at any time. And if we can do anything to save some people, that is one of the most satisfying things in the world. So if you go to my website, which has just been updated, I mean, it's really beautiful. My partner, Jonathan, did a tremendous job working with the web people to get this together. It's www.truesecuritydesign.com. Go take a look. It is really outstanding. I think you'll see everything that's on there. We have some great programs. We're bringing on Donna Hernandez. Now, we had Donna on the program. We brought her on, and she is an expert in women's affairs, domestic violence, law enforcement women courses. She is just absolutely tremendous, and we're very proud to have Donna on board with us now. So there's our commercials for today, okay? Those are the things I want you to go take a look at, and I appreciate all the people who are writing and emailing. We're going to try and have a call-in feature coming up pretty soon. You know, we've had Joe, the attorney of record, be able to call in. We got our system set up, I think, so we're going to start taking calls from listeners very, very soon. And we can hear your voice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. So these are some things we're looking forward to. 2019 can be a really big year, and it can be big for everybody. So I look around and I'm saying, what are we going to do next? What is going to happen next? What do we see? What have we seen from the past that could come forward? So I want to talk a little law enforcement stuff. I started reading to you a couple weeks ago a novel that I have written. It's called Through the Gates of Hell. And it's the story of a very violent homicide that took place that I investigated. And it was about, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away, the theme of what the whole thing is. But we're going to do more of that as we go forward, reading some excerpts from that. And I'll tell you how you can get that. It'll be on Amazon very, very shortly. So these are the kind of things that make me sit back in law enforcement and think about it. Now, if you haven't had a chance yet, and you have the ability to go see, there's an interview with O.J. Simpson. Now, many of you may have seen it. It was on Fox, and it was, you can still see it on, I guess Fox has on cable. You can go back and find old shows. And it was called If I Did It. Well, I have to tell you, I think I had seen this when it first came out about a year or so ago, but I watched it again the other day, and I was fascinated by it. And all my law enforcement friends out there, if you are interested in understanding how the criminal mind works, how people who are being truthful or being deceitful work, you want to watch this interview with O.J. Simpson and with the interviewer as they go back and forth very carefully covering these topics, the topics of the murders that O.J. was involved with, going back to 1994, and we're still talking about these things. I found it fascinating to watch, especially the portion where he comes out and he talks about, this is a hypothetical. He's not saying he did the murders, but when he talks about it being hypothetical, if I did do the murders, and that was the whole idea of the book, if I did it, you can see that he looks like he's laying out a plausible deniability thing for his children, so that he can cleanse his soul and tell everybody what happened here without admitting that he actually did it. That's what it seems like to me. But he wants to have that protection for his children. It's obvious that he loves his kids. But as a trained investigator who's been through some horrific domestic violence assaults, and that's what this was. This was a rage-based domestic violence assault that led to the murder of two people. When you listen to the answers that OJ gives, when he describes what happened. So I look back and I remember that trial. I remember watching it. And you saw that the gloves were the big thing. Right? The attorney Johnny Cochran had a great line. If the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. Right? Now these gloves were soaked in blood. They were leather gloves. And the prosecution, I think they'll admit they made a mistake. They never had OJ try those gloves on before. And Mr. Cochran, smart attorney, has him put them on, and the gloves do not fit his hand very well. Well, if those are the killer's gloves and they don't fit OJ's hands, ipso facto, OJ wasn't the killer. But when you listen to this interview with OJ, and he talks about this alter ego person, this Charlie that he claims drove with him over to the house where his ex-wife Nicole Simpson was, and he talks about getting out of the car, but before he did, he reached underneath the seat to get a knife that he always kept there. He kept a knife because he says you can't ride around with a gun, there's a lot of crazy people. So he kept the knife in his car, in the Bronco, and he decided to put it back. And as he's walking up the back stairs of the from the alley towards the front of Nicole's apartment, he says this guy Charlie, who he gives no other information about, Charlie decided to get the knife and bring it with him. Well, OJ describes how as he's outside, this young man shows up, who came from the restaurant to return some eyeglasses that apparently Janice Brown had left at the restaurant. And of course, this was the other victim. And OJ says him and the victim started getting into an argument, and the guy got into a kung fu stance, and they started fighting. And as they started fighting, Charlie handed him the knife. And then OJ says, you know, I kind of blanked out at that point. But he remembers Nicole slipping and falling. She came out in the middle of this fight, apparently, and she fell down and hit her head. And then he blanked out, and next thing he remembers, there was blood everywhere. Blood everywhere, he describes. And he realized that anybody that got murdered the way these two people did, everyone must have been covered in blood. So what did he do? He took off his clothes. He went back to the Bronco, and he threw the pile of clothes in the car, and he describes driving away. Well, it's so first person that you can hear through the thing that he's trying to say that it wasn't him. It's a confession. Even Chris Darden, the prosecutor, he was one of the panel watching it during this interview. It was a confession to the murder. And it's funny because they asked him about the gloves. They said, oh yeah, he said when he pulled up to the house, he put on a ski cap and a pair of gloves. So he had a pair of gloves with him. Before Charlie handed him the knife, he took one of the gloves off. And he goes, they asked him, well, where was the glove? He says, I must have dropped it there. because they found a glove at the scene, didn't they? Well, that must be it. Well, that accounts for the one glove at the scene. Right? It was chilling to watch OJ talk about this. Then he got in the Bronco with the bloody clothes, because he said somebody had to get rid of the bloody clothes. We all know that, right? He drove back to his house. I guess it was on Rockingham. And they asked where he parked. And he says, well, he parked about a block away. And he went through the backyards, through the tennis courts. Now, if you remember, for any of you who remember the trial, they found another bloody glove in the back of the house near an air conditioner, because they had OJ had a caretaker staying on the property, and that's kind of where the caretaker lived. And he heard a bump outside that he thought was, you know, the air conditioner got kicked or bumped. That was OJ coming through the backyard, and that's where they found the other bloody glove. So he said he went in the house, and you know, he got his bags for his trip. He had to go on a trip. It's absolutely amazing. I'm telling you, law enforcement people, go find that interview and watch it. It is absolutely chilling. It's so much, it reveals so much about how people speak, how things are revealed, deception and truth, that I'm actually going to use it probably as part of a training course that I want to develop on assessing the body language, assessing, you know, the words people say. Words mean things. I always say that in all my classes. The words people use are very important. And I came across this this video, and it was amazing. I can't say it enough times. The learning you're going to do by watching this, you're probably going to have to watch it a couple times. I might even put together a little primer and throw it up on the website at America Out Loud, so that as you watch the video, you can read my primer and kind of follow along with the points that I'm seeing as an investigator to say how important some of these things are. So I'll get that out for you in 2019. So we're coming to an end of this particular show, and I guess you hear my Arthur in the background barking over there. Used to bother me when he would bark, but he's our good boy now, and we have another rescue in the house. We have Tallulah. All right, Tallulah is a little dachshund. She's adorable, and she was in a kill shelter, and we got her just before Christmas time, and brought her up here to be with us. We're trying to find a home for her. I'm sure we will. We've had a lot of luck with that because people have really big hearts. But every once in a while you hear Arthur bark in the background, and it used to bother me, but it doesn't bother me anymore because he's part of the neighborhood, and you're all part of the neighborhood, and we're enjoying ourselves here together. So I'm glad we've had this this opportunity at the new year. I'm trying to be positive for everybody. I want you to be positive. We're all going to look forward together to a better year, to better things for everybody. So once again, thank you so much for listening here on Chasing Justice, and make sure you look around at the America Out Loud website. Go take a look at the other hosts that are out there. Some of the programming is absolutely outstanding. You know, there's programs for husbands and wives. There's programming for religious people. There's programs, Randy Sutton's program is excellent. Eva's program is great. Of course, on Sundays, you have Viewpoint, and it's absolutely a great program. You'll enjoy all of these things. It's the voice of America, uncluttered, unrestricted, and honest. And this is what we all want. We want to be able to hear real opinions. And you know, Malcolm said that to me when I first came on. He said, do your thing, give your opinion, be honest, don't hold back. I try not to hold back. I try to tell you what I'm thinking, try to tell you what I'm feeling, so that we can all together move forward. And that's the theme of our program today, my friends in Chasing Justice Land, is moving forward. 2019, make it the year you've always hoped for. Make it the year you've always dreamed it to be. Have a great year, and we'll see you next week here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Happy New Year, everybody.